This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Lots to discuss today around the NFL. Free agency is upon us. Cuts galore. The draft will be here before we know it. Thanks for hanging out with us on this Thursday edition of the Lombardi Line, presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. He's Michael Lombardi. I'm Stormy Bonantoni. Elliot Bowman at the controls. And Michael, well, there's been all this talk about the gigantic bison that they're planning to build outside of the Bills Stadium in Orchard Park. I must have missed the everything must go sign that's going to be out there too. Wow. So the team announced yesterday the release of six players, including bloodletting, whatever you want to call it. So they released six players, including former All-Pros Tre'Davious White and Jordan Poyer, while also reconstructing multiple contracts, Von Miller among those. What was going on in Buffalo yesterday?
Well, I think in Buffalo, it was they got to get below the cap, and they're going to have to make some hard decisions, and they've got put together a team next year that may not resemble the team that we saw miss a field goal to go to overtime against the Kansas City Chiefs. It's going to be a challenge. I mean, we knew it was going to be a challenge. They were fortunate, I think, because of the domestic issue that Von Miller's going through. There's no clarity, because if he is charged with that, his guarantees would go away. So that gave them a chance to kind of negotiate something, because to cut Von Miller was going to be too expensive. Mm. And so they renegotiated. Now, he gave them incentives to get back up there and made it sound a lot better than it is. But, you know, they're going to lose Hyde. They got Daquan Jones as a free agent. Leonard Floyd's a free agent. They've let a lot of players go. They're going to have to rely on the draft. They're going to have to rely on young players. They're going to be resembling the Rams to a degree, where they've got a couple really good players, and then they've got a lot of guys that are going to have to fill in, and they got to hope they stay healthy. So it was, and it's not over yet, Stormy. Yeah. It's not done. They still have they have 48 players on their team. I think they're still $8 million over the cap. And so you got to get to 51, 52. So you can start, once you get to 51, you can then lob players off, and then they got to deal with Stephon Diggs. Like, what are they going to do here? Because he's got $18 million in paragraph five that's not guaranteed.
So a lot of layers to that. To clean up a little bit of it, the Buffalo Bills went into yesterday with over $40+ million over the cap. They, in one foul swoop, basically eliminate around $37 million. It's in totality. Trey White, who's a post-June 1 designation, their starting safety Poyer, center Mitch Morse, who they signed from KC a couple years ago, Nyheim Hines, who we kind of expected, who missed all season after the jet ski accident, but they also paired that with the $5.1 million he was due, Cerron Neal, and Deontay Hardy. So all of them are done. The Miller contract numbers goes from $17.14 million base to now $8.5 million total base salary, but the incentives, as you referenced, up to about $20 million in that. I'm curious to see how that all plays out, the stuff with the case against him. I know his girlfriend walked those comments back, so we'll see how that plays out. But now, big picture, you talk about how they're going to have to retool things. In terms of their Super Bowl window, that's the big question. I feel like the last couple off seasons, people have been asking, okay, is that window closing? Okay, is that window closing? Is this the real signal that it feels like it is?
Well, look, if you have a great quarterback, I mean, we saw this with the Rams, and you have a couple really good players, Cooper Kupp, you know, you got the Aaron Donald, and you've got, you know, Ramsey at corner. You can win, right? You got a chance to win because you're so prolific. Now, they're going to be able to keep most of their offensive line intact, which is a good thing. You know, they're going to have to sign a lot of young players, minimum salary. They're going to be a minimum salary type team. I don't know why they went ahead and gave all that money to Mitchell Trubisky above the minimum, because I thought they would be a minimum salary backup quarterback. But for some reason, they must like Trubisky or think he can go in and play well for them. They're watching a different tape than I'm watching, but that's okay. So, you know, as long as you have Josh Allen, I don't think your window's closed. But I do think they're going to have to reinvent themselves with younger players, cheap players, to get through this cap era that they're in right now. I think they made their push, but now they're going to pay the consequences for it.
Trubisky, 2-year, $5.25 million, what he got signed to, despite over the last two seasons in Pittsburgh being 2-5, 64.1% completions, 8 touchdowns, 10 picks. So just you know, thrown out there. He is what he is. And they also signed Taylor Rapp to a 3-year deal there. Now, in terms of the offense, though, what you say there, that the window is always going to be open with Josh Allen. Similarly, when we talk about the Bengals, that Super Bowl window is always going to be open as long as they have Joe Burrow, and he has said as much. But the Steph Diggs of it all, I do think, is important. And you said trying to figure out what to do with his contract. He's still got time left on that 4-year deal, a lot of money attached to it. And there's been some off the field questions about that relationship. How important do you think that is, especially when you think big picture and the hot seat that Sean McDermott is under this year?
You know, McDermott's under a hot seat that nobody really I think his seat's hotter than McCarthy's.
You do?
I really do. I think his seat's hotter than McCarthy and of Dallas. I think he's got a lot of pressure on him. And if he has one injury, just one injury, if Josh Allen takes off and it misses a couple, 3-4 weeks, like we see what happens in Denver, with the Rams, when Stafford misses, it could get ugly. Look, you know, Daquan Jones, when he got hurt, that hurt their defense. Now, I know Matt Milano's a good player, but their defensive front now, right now, is not good enough. They've got Ed Oliver, who's more of a nickel player, and, you know, they lose mm-hmm. Phillips, who was one of their bigger guys, kind of an inconsistent defensive tackle. But this is going to be require a lot of piecing and patching, and, you know, they're like an inner tube that's got some holes in it. They're going to have to patch it up. Now, it can be done because, as the great John Madden says about quarterbacks, they can be the great deodorant for what else ails your team, and this will be the case here.
The Bills, currently the fourth shot on the odds board to win the Super Bowl this year, 10-1, that number. And, you know, if anything, we did learn this past year that you can't count them out. They were an 11 seed heading into week 13, rattled off a bunch of wins to make the playoffs and go toe-to-toe with the Chiefs. But it is an eventual early exit in the postseason, which we've seen year after year.
Would you put $100 on them to win the Super Bowl 10-1, Stormy?
Probably not. I just don't have that type of belief in Buffalo, and I haven't for the last couple of years, unfortunately.
I don't either. I think, to me, they're in a transitional state. And I know when we get to breaking down the odds, if they're just right or too high or too low, you know, we get there, we'll talk about Buffalo today, but for me, there's a lot of work to get done here, right? There's a lot of work. I mean, they got Cook still on the team. They have some good players. I'm not disputing that. But their depth is going to take a severe hit. They're going to be very young, very young. And they've got a lot of guys that are free agents that contributed to their team last year. Floyd, Daquan Jones, you know. They re-signed Taylor Rapp. Mm-hmm. Okay, that helps them. But Micah Hyde is a free agent. Now, what his market value is going to be out there, I don't know. But will it be high? I doubt it.
While we're talking cuts, the Saints we saw come down are expected to release Michael Thomas, and the Broncos releasing longtime star safety Justin Simmons. Should we expect more of that today?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, especially on these teams that we talked about yesterday about these teams that have to get below Miami. They're going to have to do something. Now, I think they're waiting on maybe they're going to get this Tua contract done, but Miami's going to have to continue to trim their roster. You know, the Chargers are going to have to continue to trim their roster. The Saints, no surprise, Michael Thomas, they're going to have to get rid of some players. I think there's no question. It's interesting. There's 9 teams that are in this situation, whereas 19 teams have $20 or more million to spend. So there's kind of we have an imbalance. And I think what you have to do, because the cap went up, I think, to me, everybody thinks you should pay for the players that are free agents now. I disagree. I think what you should do right now is use this extra cap room to sign your best young players. That's what you should do. Like, you should use some of it to sign players, but you should, again, not overpay replaceable players. You should not go out there and say, okay, we got these 5 guys. No. Like, make sure you re-sign your own, because that extra money is really meant for them.
Yeah, the decision-making process for a lot of these teams are going to be conversations we're going to have for the next couple of weeks. The new league year again beginning next Wednesday. And as it pertains to free agencies and guys on the market, one NFL coach has already confirmed his team is out when it comes to Russell Wilson. Dave Canales and the Carolina Panthers, although I might have been the only person asking for that. But here is his former quarterbacks coach in Seattle talking to Kay Adams on Up and Adams yesterday.
Seattle. Then he goes on to the Broncos. It doesn't work out. You could bring Russell in here. I'm seeing tweets about it all day long on my timeline. Why won't you? Or why don't you?
Well, this is not the situation for Russ, but what I will say about him is taking that chance and that opportunity to go to Denver. I really admire him for that. I really admire the courage it took to say, I'm going to branch out away from what I'm comfortable with, you know, and certainly guys like me who was with him for all 10 years, you know, and the level of comfort that comes from, like, I know exactly what he wants, what he needs, what he's going to ask for. I can anticipate those things. And he really gambled on himself to go and try to do something a different way to see what that could become. So, and what it's become, hey, the film's out there.
So I agree that it's probably not the right situation, but what did you think of those comments? I thought, if anything, he wanted out of there. I wouldn't say that that was a risk when he left Seattle. He wanted out. He requested it two off-seasons in a row.
He demanded he get out of there. He's been a thorn. I think Dave's being very politically correct, right? Don't you?
Yeah.
I mean, he's being so nice to Russell. Now, just before we came on the air, there is a report, and I didn't get who it was from, but they were talking about it on the Pat McAfee show, that Russell will meet with the Pittsburgh Steelers before free agency begins.
Yes.
And I think this is what's going to happen. There's going to be meetings, right? Because it's not about money. It's about the meeting. It's about what are we going to do? What can we do? Right? And I think that's going to be the key.
We can wrap up that conversation briefly when we come back on the other side of the break before we get to our AFC East gridiron Goldilocks, which has been a fun exercise all week long. But that was a report per Jerry Dulac, the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. He was reporting that Russell Wilson will meet with the Steelers this week, and there's one other team, I guess, that he's expected to have conversations with as of right now as well.
TBD. We could figure it out.
Come on, TBD.
We could figure
TBD.
It out.
We're going to hit the break.
I only have four teams that really are players: Raiders, Atlanta, Minnesota, and Pittsburgh.
Well, and you're doing a great tease for later on in the show when we play a game of quarterback matchmaker, which we will do. We are just getting started here on the Lombardi Line. Keep it locked right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to the Lombardi Line. If you haven't already, make sure you check out the new and improved VSiN.com. Our website's got a fresh new look, enhanced navigation, mobile first focus, but all that same great educational content that you are used to, whether you are a new bettor, you're somebody looking to dive a little bit deeper into certain sports. Right now on the front page, lots of conference tournament action for college basketball, some already underway, but we've got previews for all of the league tourneys set to come. Again, VSiN.com. Welcome back. Continuing our NFL talk of free agency, the Denver Broncos already let Russell Wilson know that they plan to release him. They've given him permission this week ahead of the new league year officially beginning that he can start talking to teams. And a report from Jerry Dulac of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette has said that Russ is expected to meet with his first team already coming up this week in the Pittsburgh Steelers. Michael, and I did find this a little bit interesting that he's the first team and the Steelers are an odds-on favorite, a -135 for where Russell Wilson will take his next snap. But that team in particular, they have been very vocal outwardly about their confidence and their belief in Kenny Pickett and that they want to bring in competition for Pickett. Like, that doesn't seem like a place where Russ would just walk in and be guaranteed to be a starter.
Well, but again, it's supply and demand, right? It's the law of economics. Where can Russ go? Who's going to guarantee Russ a job? The starting job. It's not about money. Who's going to say this? You're our guy for 2 years. And so when you go through all the teams, Minnesota could have that conversation, but only if they don't get Kirk Cousins back.
Mm-hmm.
Atlanta could have that conversation. I'm not saying they would, but they could if they don't get Kirk Cousins or Baker Mayfield, who today was a report come out that the Bucs aren't very close. Okay. We don't know if that's true or not, but that's the report. You know, who else could say it? The Raiders could say it easily. They have a void. But if they trade up in the draft from 13 to 3 and they get Jaden Daniels, are they going to keep Russ on the team? There's a little bit of an interesting conversation there. So right now he went to the one team that has an opening, that really has an opening mm-hmm. that is wide open. But they're not going to say to him in this meeting, you're our guy. They're going to say, look, based on your career, you should be our guy. Based on what you've done in the past, you should be our guy. Based on the numbers that you have in your lifetime, you should be our guy. But until you prove it to us through training camp, mini camp, OTA days, around the team, we're not going to give you the job. I think that's a fair thing to say to somebody. And if you don't want the competition, you know, look, usually what happens, Stormy, is that the contract determines the language of what the team's saying to the player. Okay, so when Mitchell Trubisky signs a backup quarterback deal at a low level, they're saying, Mitchell, you're our backup. They gave you that deal, okay? If I sign Christian Wilkins to this enormous deal, I'm saying you're our starting right defensive tackle. If I sign a corner on a mid-level deal, I'm saying you're coming in to be a nickel, but you could be a, you know, all the contract tells you what it is. There's no verbiage to this contract. It's going to be a minimum.
Yep.
So there has to be an exchange of texts here to really understand what the role is and can Russell accept it.
Yeah, and I understand from a dollars and cents perspective, like any team in my brain would be interested in Russ from the price point that you're getting a guy that has won a Super Bowl and has all of this experience at $1.2 million because the Broncos are going to be paying that entire salary. But I wonder for him from an ego standpoint, how well that'll translate for somebody like him who has been used to being the guy. And, you know, there's an interesting tweet that came out over the last couple of days from a Broncos Ring of Honor member, a legend in Carl Mecklenburg, who posted this, not shy about hitting hard on Russell Wilson. He said, Russell Wilson isn't a leader. The foolishness that went on his first year at Denver with a private coach, his own office at the facility and family at training camp when other players didn't have those privileges proved his self-centeredness. And you think about a head coach like Mike Tomlin, who is as clear cut as a guy that there is, how will that type of a personality gel with that locker room? You think that has already had, you know, some issues this past year.
Well, Mike won't let that happen. Tomlin's a leader. Any true leader would never let that happen, right? And whether it was okayed by the general manager, George Payton, or whether Nathaniel Hackett just let it happen, but any true leader is not going to let it happen. But once again, the contract allowed it to happen. You know, we're recruiting you, Russell. We want you badly. You're coming here. And so here's what we're willing to do. And he did it. And then he bought a 30,000-foot square foot home and lived like a king on the castle. And that's one thing we've learned a lot through our careers is you have to connect to the team as the quarterback. You can't be above the team. And what Carl's saying is perfect, you know, and that's where it's funny. Canales said, you know, he can get back. When was he ever a good teammate in Seattle? All we heard about him was complaining. So as much as Russ is going to want to hear from Tomlin in Pittsburgh about what his role would be, Tomlin's going to want to hear from Russ. Are you humble? Are you ready to win? What's your goal? What do you see as important?
Yeah, we're going to learn
through those answers are going to go a long way.
I was going to say, we're going to learn through this process how much Russell Wilson really loves football, I think. And to your point about his time in Seattle, he's always had this as part of his personality, but winning masks a lot of those things. And obviously in Denver, didn't have that 11 and 19 in the last 2 years. Okay, we'll talk more about quarterbacks and Russell Wilson a little bit later on in the show, but let's get to the AFC East. Division futures are out at DraftKings Sportsbook. Today's edition of Gridiron Goldilocks. Are these odds for each of the respective teams too short, too long, or just right? And let's start with Buffalo, who we mentioned offloading a bunch of players to have a little bit of relief on the cap. They have won four straight now, plus 130 to win a fifth. Too short, too long, or just right?
I think they're too short. I think it should be in 180, you know, maybe even to 200. I think it's too short because, look, this team has got a long way to go, right? They've got a lot of things that they've got to fix. Now, look, he is really, you know, they've got the great quarterback, so that's half the battle. But I kept saying this during the year, and I know you remember. I kept saying Buffalo's not a good team. If you put Josh Allen on another team, the Patriots, and you put Mac Jones on Buffalo, we'd be having different conversations, right? But nobody wants to say that. Nobody sees it that way. But I think it's true, and I think that Now the depth of this team is coming. I'm not saying they can't win the East, and I'm not saying they can't have a great year. I'm not implying that. But at plus 130, that's short. That team's short. I think this should be closer to 200.
Especially considering the Miami Dolphins had the division in their grasp and let it slip away. Tua Tagovailoa expected to get a big contract coming up this offseason. He led the league in passing yards this past year, despite the success being very different against good teams. They're plus 180. Too short, too long, or just right?
I think, again, this is too short. I was thinking this would be around two. I mean, because, look, Miami, look, the two teams in the East here, Buffalo and Miami, are both in cap hell. They both have had severe cap, and they got benefited by a huge increase in the cap. It would be a lot worse in Buffalo or Miami if it wasn't for the $25 million that got thrown into the cap this year. So Miami defensively, where are they going to be? Chubb's injured. They're coming off of that. You know, they still got to get $25 million off their cap. They're going to re-sign Tua. What are they going to do with Waddle? They got Tyree. I mean, there's a lot of things going on there. Their defense down the stretch wasn't good. You know, I know the players complained about Vic, but their offensive line struggles when they play against good teams. Don't you think it's too short, Stormy?
I do. And again, I look to what you talk about with good teams. Against teams who were 500 win percentage or worse, they were 10-1. Tua had 22 touchdowns, 8 picks. They averaged 35.5 points per game. Teams that were over 500, 1-6, 8 touchdowns, 7 picks for Tua. They averaged 16 points per game. That's a dramatic difference. We got to look at the teams at the bottom, though, or I guess the Jets are still in the middle. Just end the season, Jets, this past year. Running it back with Robert Saleh, Nathaniel Hackett, and hopefully Aaron Rodgers gets more than 4 snaps. 3-1 is their number.
Too short. Just way too short. I don't see it, Stormy. I don't see how they're going to be the best. They have, as the great Uncle Junior said about Tony Soprano, he doesn't have the makings of a varsity athlete. They don't have the makings of a divisional winner team. They just don't. They don't have the make. I mean, like, okay, Rodgers was a good player. We're not sure if he's coming back. Got severe problems in their offensive line. Becton's a free agent. Not that he was a great player at left tackle. Who is the right tackle? I don't know. The left guard? I don't know. You know, can they get enough skilled players beside Garrett Wilson? I don't know. Are they great on defense? They struggle to stop the run at times. But then let's go back to the building, the dysfunction in the building. I don't see how they're 3-1. I really don't. I mean, I think people are just being conned. I wouldn't take a dollar on the 3-1. I really wouldn't.
Hey, that defense claimed they were Super Bowl caliber, so just remember that. Last one, real quickly, Patriots.
I remember.
Patriots 20-1. Too long, too short, just right.
I mean, the Patriots at 20-1, I don't think the Patriots are – Patriots have more talent than Arizona. Arizona was 13-1. The Raiders were 12-1. Now, to win this division, I think that's why it's at 20. I think that's too long. I do. I think that's too long. I think if they got a quarterback in there that can make some plays – I think they'll be much better next year.
Yeah, New England quarterbacks last year combined for 16 touchdowns and 21 interceptions. You would imagine even just average quarterback play would make a world of difference out there for the Patriots. We're going to hit the break when we come back, turning our attention to a little college hoops and NHL. Our guy Mike Somich is going to join us like he always does on a Thursday. We'll be right back.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Before the big dance tips off, start betting smarter with a VSiN Pro subscription. If you sign up now on a VSiN Pro annual subscription, you'll get your first year for only $199 instead of the usual $240 price. Just use our promo code Lombardi. Get VSiN Pro access to everything we do for the entire year, including our daily best bets with a leaderboard to see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. Betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for every game. Betting systems, premium analysis, 24/7 video access, plus our March Mania betting guide with best bets for every game and round of the tournament. Remember, use our promo code Lombardi. Gets your first year of VSiN Pro access for only $199. VSiN.com/subscribe is how you can make it happen. This is the Lombardi Line alongside Michael Lombardi, Stormy Bonantoni with you. Let's welcome in great friend of the show, like we do every Thursday, Mike Somich, professional handicapper, also host of The Handle here on VSiN and DraftKings Network, 9 to 12 Pacific, 12 to 3 Eastern every weekend. What's going on, Mike? How are we doing today?
We're doing good. We got a bunch of NFL news. We're talking about it, and it's trade deadline day in the NHL. We had a bunch of massive moves, Stormy. Actually, I liked what your Golden Knights did yesterday. They pick up Noah Hanifin, but the sneaky one is adding Mantha as well. He's one of those guys who's got a ton of speed, ton of skills, great hands, but he was in Detroit when they weren't good, went to Washington. He needs to figure out how to get that next gear in his career, and this Golden Knights organization might be the one to help him.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. And speaking to just trade deadline in general, anything that bettors should be aware of, big picture, or still waiting to find out about that you think we should know?
To me, it's just keep an eye on those teams that are sellers and make sure you understand who's going to be in the lineup. We're going to go against one of the sellers tonight, laying a puck and a half, because of what we've seen from a Calgary team where they've consistently given up players over the course of the season. They gave up Hanifin yesterday. He was kind of the last piece for them to fall. Already lost Tanev as well as Lindholm as well. So you're getting kind of these JV rosters. And you have to remember, these players are going to take 2 or 3 days before they play for their new team and about a week to be able to actually materialize into what you're going to see on the ice from them. So just keep an eye on these deadline deals. I like to fade teams that are in the trade rumors that are the sellers at this time of the year, just because you get a little lower motivation and you're not sure who you're going to get. So sometimes you get a little better of a price because of that.
And you, Mike, the Lightning with John Cooper, who I love studying him. I think he's a great coach. I mean, they're about 8 games over .500. Do they have a chance? Will they have a chance to make a move going up with what they've done?
They're interesting because they're kind of stuck right where you'd expect them. There's three teams that all have 72 points right now in the Eastern Conference. They're sitting in the sixth, seventh, and eighth playoff positions. It would be hard for them to be able to jump up to that five playoff position. So it looks like they're going to be fighting for either a wild card or be one of those top three seeds in their division. This is a team that they've been able to consistently score the puck, but defensively they've been giving up a ton of goals. And so the question with the Lightning is, can they figure out the defensive side, and what are you going to get from Vasilevsky down the stretch as well? Tonight, I'm going to lay the puck and a half with the Lightning. I mentioned this is a Flames team that has consistently been selling. We saw them lose Hanifin. He was that last major piece, a very, very good defenseman on the blue line for them. Without him, without some of the offensive pieces, I think they're going to struggle. You're also in a road spot, kind of a funky spot here on trade deadline day, as one of those teams that have given up a bunch of the assets. On the other side, if Tampa does add today, I'd be very surprised if they give anything up on their NHL roster to do so. And the price is right here at plus 154 for a team that needs these wins. You're going to get a motivated Tampa team. Motivation, a little bit of a question for me for Calgary tonight. So happy to lay the puck and a half and get a nice plus 154 price.
Yeah, and we love those plus money prices for any of our new people out there. Plus 154, bet $100, win 154 on that bet. And, you know, the last couple of times I've talked to you, you've been liking what the Preds were doing, and it's been paying off. They were on a stretch of 8 straight wins before Montreal stole one in overtime on Tuesday. You think they get back on track against the Sabres tonight?
I do. This is just a really good Predators team led by Jerzy Soros, and that he is one of the better NHL goaltenders that most people don't know the name of. A guy who was in the Vezina conversation last year and has really turned it on here down the stretch. This is a Predators team that won by 2 or more goals in 8 straight games prior to that Montreal game. And Montreal, not very good. It felt a little bit like a letdown for them there. So I feel like you're going to see a Predators team that should rebound off of that loss, play very well at home tonight. And you've got a Sabres team that made a big move yesterday, although it's not one that is necessarily buyer seller style. They traded their number 2 center, who was the 8th overall pick in the NHL draft, for Bynum from Colorado, who is a very good defender. But Colorado has Cal Makar. They would have had to pay Bynum Makar-type money because he's a top-tier power play guy. Buffalo doesn't have one of those defensemen, so they're going to not have their second-line center tonight because he's on his way out to Colorado. And they also won't have Bynum tonight because he's not going to be in the building and suited up yet for the Sabres after making this deal yesterday. So you're getting a little bit of a depleted Sabres team here against a Predators team that's absolutely streaking. Again, going to lay the goal and a half here and get that same plus 154 price.
One more we got, and I know you love these first half in the NFL unders, but you got a first period under Washington and Pittsburgh, the Caps and the Pens.
Yeah, I remember the days when we had Ovechkin versus Crosby, and this was just such a hyped game, and now they're both in the later stages of their career. Both teams struggling. Both look like they're going to miss the playoffs this year. And this all comes down to the Penguins side of this, really. The Penguins are the number one team at home in the NHL for first period under ROI. They love going under in the first period. They don't score a ton of goals. They don't give up a ton of goals. The Capitals, one of the lowest scoring teams in the NHL. This line got opened at 6.5. It's been hammered toward the under there. You're seeing minus 130 now in the under 6.5. I agree with that move, but I think the juice is a little heavy. So we're looking to look to the first period where we can get plus 110 under a goal and a half here. I think Pittsburgh plays a very defensive style early. This isn't a Washington team that I'm overly concerned about scoring goals. So let's take this first period under a goal and a half for the Capitals and the Pens.
VSiN's Mike Somich joining us here live on the Lombardi line. Let's switch gears to a little college hoops because some conference tournaments are already underway. We got the OVC coming up today. You have a play in the 4-5 matchup, Western Illinois, the Leathernecks, laying 2.5 against Tennessee State. They won 5 of 6 coming into the tournament, beat Tennessee State in that stretch, 68-61 on the road. More of the same tonight.
You're doing great, Stormy. And we're going back to the Leathernecks here. I don't know if you remember this. We played them on Saturday, and they covered the 3.5 line. We're going to play them again here, -2.5. It's a situation where Western Illinois just playing very good basketball heading into the tournament, able to beat Tennessee State last time out. We're also playing this game in Western Illinois, so we'll take that in as advantage as well. Tennessee State can have a little more trouble traveling for this. So even though we're on neutral, it seems like a little bit more of that home court advantage. The game that Western Illinois won by 7 was on the road, so we're also getting a little bit of positive flip there. I made this game 5.5. I was surprised it opened at 3. A little bit of money came in for Tennessee. Now we're seeing the number sitting at 2.5. I love the Leathernecks tonight laying that 2.5 points.
And Tarleton State, you like them tonight against Utah Valley? They're playing, Mike. Man, you're going deep, aren't you?
It's the Wolverines. Everyone knows Utah Valley Wolverines, right? It's the most known Wolverine in the nation. Look, this is one of those spots where Tarleton State needs this game. They are a half game behind Grand Canyon right now. Grand Canyon, very good basketball team, a team I'm excited about once we get to the NCAA tournament. But Tarleton State right now can kind of pull off a major shocker and has a shot at winning this conference in the regular season. They are 15-3 in conference. Right now, Utah Valley struggling. They are just... Utah Valley is just 9-9 in conference here, and Tarleton State has been able to get the job done in these games consistently. Now we have a situation where we're laying 6.5 at home. It's up to 7 now. I would still lay the 7. I made this game 10 in this spot, and this is a team in Tarleton State that beat Utah Valley by 11 on the road, and they're going to be highly motivated tonight. Again, this is an important game for Tarleton State. They need to win to keep pace with Grand Canyon. They split the regular season series with Grand Canyon, so there is still a shot for them to be able to win the conference tournament. I think you see a very, very motivated Tarleton State team here come in and blow Utah Valley out tonight.
Going back to the well in Tarleton State. I love it. And they've been on a heater, to your point, down the stretch. So hopefully they can keep it up. And I like that differential in your number compared to what the line is here. So maybe I'll just go blind and tail you on it. I like the way that you're talking about things. We do have two teams in the top 25 that are in action today. A couple of Pac-12 games. Washington State laying 6.5 against Washington. Arizona at UCLA. Did you take a look at either one of those games tonight?
I actually looked at them both. I am slightly higher on both favorites, but we're only talking about 0.5 higher. I considered laying it with Arizona because I like this Arizona team quite a bit. They're one of the teams when it comes tournament time, I think is going to be under-discussed. You're going to hear a lot about Houston. You're going to hear a lot about Purdue. You're going to hear a lot about UConn. I have this Arizona team right up there with those big guys, and right now you're seeing them anywhere from 12-14-1 to win the national title. I made this game at 8.5. It opened at 8. It's already gone through the 8.5 and got to 9. I don't want to back UCLA here, but I'm also not interested in laying near double digits on the road, even though I do like this Arizona team quite a bit. The other game, Washington State and Washington. I made the number 7. It's 6.5 right now for Washington State. The key for me here is Washington State kind of been up and down in their last couple games. We haven't seen as consistent efforts out of them, even at home after they got a couple big wins. I don't want to lay it in a rivalry game in this spot. And that was really the last thing that they kind of pushed me over the edge to staying away from it, especially when I only have a 0.5 advantage. And Stormy, we talked about this last week when I was hosting this show. A lot of times my advantages are in these smaller conferences. These bigger conferences are games that are more marquee. People want to watch them, but usually the numbers pretty good in these bigger games. It's those smaller conference games where I seem to have advantages in, and that's why I generally will bet those instead of betting these type of games.
And you've been doing a great job with it, which is why I trust tailing you. Really appreciate your time, Mike. Thanks for doing it.
Hey, no problem.
Thanks,
looking forward
Mike.
To it. No problem, Michael. Looking forward to the next couple of weeks. We get to toss some March Madness.
Yes, absolutely. A lot of fun. That's Mike Somich at SamaBomb18 on X. And make sure you tune into the handle every weekend. 9 to noon Eastern, 12, 9 to noon Pacific, 12 to 3 Eastern right here. And Michael, when he filled in on our show last week for a couple days. Then I filled in on the handle one day. I was doing so well all day. I called it the handle. Last block, I slip a Lombardi line. Come on, man. Be better. We'll be right back.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This week on DraftKings Sportsbook, new customers can deposit $5 and get a no-sweat bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet loses. Download the app and use the promo code VSiN when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. Welcome back to the Lombardi Line. Alongside Michael Lombardi, I'm Stormy Bonantoni, and we have some drama in the NFL over the last half hour, Michael. My goodness. So I told the people at home briefly, there was a report that the Saints were planning to release Michael Thomas before the start of the new league year coming up next week. Well, not according to Michael Thomas, who has taken to Twitter against this writer, Jeff Duncan, saying, "Funny how they plan on releasing me if I was on a one-year deal. Bunch of cry faces. Don't fall for it. He's the same dude that tried to be my friend in season after saying I wasn't the same player in camp." He called Duncan a not particularly nice name, saying he's trying to stay relevant, so let's speak on it. The Saints leak information to him to try to ruin players' value, but see, I'm not broke, so I can speak on it. He is broke. He needs clips. Go look at his articles that never end up being true. Whew.
Oh, boy.
That's a lot.
Well, at least Kyle Pitts was softer to Mike Florio. I mean, you know, he just said, I've never had, you know, he was went the softer approach. Look, it makes no sense for the Saints to cut Michael Thomas. He's only due to make $3.4 million this year based on base salary of 1.2 and a roster bonus of 2.2, which is guaranteed. So they don't pick up cap relief when they do it. It's not a smart play. They might as well carry him. They're going to work around other players on their team. You know, one of the things you always want to look at, and I think this is really important, is, you know, like, for example, we spent a lot of time talking about Buffalo today, about their you know, cap situation and how they've got to get below the cap and all that. Well, Josh Allen's due to make $23.5 million this year in paragraph 5. Now, his cap number's at $47 million because of that 23. So what Buffalo will probably do is take $20 million of that salary and guarantee it. And now his cap number comes way down, okay? It comes way down. And so anytime you think when a team's in cap trouble, you have to go to the team and look at them and say, okay, where can they pick up cap room? Well, the Saints could pick up cap room with Taysom Hill. He's due to make $10 million. DeMario Davis is due to make $10 million. Kamara's due to make $10 million. And Ryan Ramczyk's due to make $17 million. That's the only place they can get money from unless they cut players. They've already taken Derek Carr down to $1.2 million. He's at the league minimum. So they're not getting any money. They're doing Mathau, who's at $7 million. They cut May, who's at $7 million. So that's how you do it. You just have to look at those large paragraph fives and say, okay, we're coming to get you.
So we will update you if we get any more developments on this, but that is where we stand right now with the Michael Thomas of it all. We also saw Denver is releasing Justin Simmons. That's according to multiple reports, so hopefully we don't get a Twitter war there. And then the Bills, as you mentioned, they're offloading a ton of people because of the cap issues that they have. And I asked you earlier, is this something we expect to continue? Is it unique at all that they're doing it now, so early ahead of the new league year coming up, or is this the proper window where this type of thing should be happening?
This is the crunch, right? We know the league year is, what, a week from yesterday. So you have to be compliant by 12 o'clock the morning, the 12th of the 12 o'clock on what is next week, whatever that
Wednesday.
Date is, the 12th, the 11th, the 13th, right? So you've at 12 o'clock midnight, you have to be below the cap. And so all these moves are to get below the cap. And, you know, you try to go as fast as you can. It's easier to cut the players, but some players you want back, you try to renegotiate, it doesn't work out. And then you sit there and say, okay, here's where we are. Here's the moves we have to make. The next move Buffalo will make will be, you know, to guarantee Josh Allen. That should get them enough cap room to be able to get into free agency. See, Stephon Diggs is at $18 million on their cap. So if they want to keep him and they think he's got three more years, they could extend him and lower his number. Now, it puts him in more cap trouble in future years, but certainly not this year. So it depends on what they want to do there. So, yeah, this is the timing of it all. And the players either say, I'm in, I'm out. Now, there's a difference, so we understand this. When you go to Josh Allen and say, we're gonna guarantee your paragraph five, he's not taking any less money.
Yeah,
it's just a clerical situation for the cap. But what Von Miller did is they're taking money from. Those are restructures. The other ones are just cap moves.
Rasul Douglas was a restructure as well. And with Stephon Diggs, would you really want to do that, though? Like, unless
no.
it's... That's what I'm...
No.
Like, that sounds terrible if I'm Buffalo.
No, I wouldn't want to do it at all. I think, to me, that's the dilemma. You don't want to pay him $18 million, and you don't want to restructure him.
Yeah.
You know, unless you really believe, which we don't know, right? I mean, we watch Diggs play, and he doesn't look like the same player. However, it may be he had an injury that we didn't know about. You know, like Kyle Pitts last year, he had an injury that nobody knew about. He wasn't running as well as he typically could. So there's a lot of times where we watch and evaluate as fans that we don't know the injury level. Like Hargrave, I didn't know he had a bad arm. He wasn't playing nearly the level in San Francisco that he played in Philly. But then come to find out, he was hurt most of the half of the second half of the season. We don't know those things.
Yeah, but I remember we were saying a number of times, like, how come we're not hearing Javon Hargrave's name? And you start to get a little bit of a sense why later on. Okay, let's close out this hour with our final Gridiron Goldilocks of the week. We are looking at the NFC East as we continue analyzing these division markets that are up at DraftKings. Are these odds for each team too short, too long, or just right? And in the NFC East, there has been a different champion every single year for the last 20 years. The Cowboys are favored to repeat. So just on principle, I think we have to just knock that one out. But even money to win the NFC East. Too short, too long, or just right?
Oh, I think this is way too short, right? Way too short. Don't you?
Yes. In a word, yes.
Stormy, there's no... I mean, when you just read that tagline... And you know that this team doesn't repeat. There's so much pressure. Plus, you know, they've got cap issues. You know, they're going to have to get Parsons done. They're going to have to get Lamb done. They're going to talking about getting their quarterback. What's their depth going to look like, right? They've already said they're not re-signing Tyron Smith, which is probably the smart thing to do because he can't stay healthy, right? He's a good player when he plays, but he's not healthy all the time. Durability is one of his biggest concerns. So can they bring this team back? Pollard said he wants to come back for a lesser contract. I think that's great because we don't think he was healthy last year. Mm-hmm. I think this is too short. I think this should be, I think Philly and them should be right around the same number, which I think is 170, 180 in there for me.
And Philly, not too far off. So the Cowboys, even money, the Eagles plus 160 where they sit at DraftKings right now. Started the season 10-1 before that disastrous second half that culminated in a rough, pretty embarrassing loss to the Buccaneers in the postseason. Set for their third set of coordinators in 3 years. Last year, they lose their coordinators because they were too good. This year, things did not work out. So what do you think about their number?
You know, I think the Eagles, it's going to take some reconstruction on their team, right? I mean, we heard all the stories about Hurts. We heard about the head coach. You know, what's Kellen Moore going to look like for the team? I think Vic Fangio will make them better, but there's a lot of work to do on that defensive side. I don't think they have a corner that can really be a man-to-man guy. I think what you're going to see them – I think if you're taking the 160 here now, you're saying they're going to have a great offseason. And I think they're going to spend a lot of money this offseason. I really do.
I feel like this division, it's not one I particularly have interest in betting, but it does feel like a two-horse race between the Cowboys and Eagles. You've got the Commanders there at 8-1, though they've finally moved on from Ron Rivera. A new regime coming in. Dan Quinn's going to be the guy. Too short, too long, or just right at 8-1?
I think it's still too short. I mean, if I were the Giants, I would be insulted. I mean, how are the Commanders ahead of us? You know, we beat them with a backup quarterback. We didn't have Daniel Jones. I mean, look, I think what they're saying with this number is they're going to draft a rookie quarterback, and the rookie quarterback's going to make them better. We shall see. I think this Commanders team is not what we think it is. Defensively, I think they've not done a good job of drafting over the last few seasons. You know, Chase Young's not a good player. You know, I think they traded Sweat away. The strength of their team was their front, which isn't any longer. They couldn't stop anybody on defense last year, right? And so what's the first thing they do, which makes no sense at all? They sign Zach Ertz. Like, okay, really? Seriously? You got to put money in an older player who's going to stop the progress of a younger player, you know, because, well, the coach knows them. That's great. That never works out. I think the Commanders and the Giants should both be 13-1. I think the Giants, look, we know the problems on defense, on offense, in terms of their offensive line. They've got to strengthen that. Even if Evan Neal is the starter, he's not good enough. They've got to get more skilled players. They don't have Barkley. The quarterback's not great. I mean, there's some work to be done here. Now, in fairness for the Giants, they have $35 million plus dollars to spend. We'll see how they do it. They'll spend.
Their quarterback, Daniel Jones, coming off an ACL after he signed his new contract, led the team to a 1-5 record to start the year. So that doesn't give you a ton of confidence. As you mentioned, the O-line issues, they're not going to have Saquon. And the Commanders, that defense you mentioned not being good, allowed the most yards and more points per game in the entire league last year. So even if you do get a star quarterback with the number 2 pick in the draft, still not going to help your defense. So need a little bit of work there. We're resetting with hour 2 when we come back on the Lombardi Line.